Welcome to Story 49 on KNOM Radio. Story 49 is a monthly show featuring the stories of people who live in Alaska. I'm your host, Emily Benick. This month, I spoke to Mary Jane Lichard of Nome, Alaska, and this month's episode of Story 49 is going to be a little bit different. It will be separated into two acts, Act 1 and Act 2. The first act is Mary Jane meets John F. Kennedy, and Act 2 is entitled Mary Jane's Gift. Thanks for joining us. Mary Jane Lichard's business card reads, artist, poet, traditional healer. She grew up in Lost River, Alaska, but lived in Teller, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Barrow before moving to Nome. Act 1 captures 2 days in Mary Jane's life, when she met President John F. Kennedy as a little girl, and when she learned of his death several years later. Act 1, Mary Jane meets John F. Kennedy.
My dad sold everything and moved to Anchorage because he got a job there. My dad is an electrician foreman. And we lived in Mumford at Mountain View area. And, oh, it was a lot of fun living in that part of the city. There was always an ice cream man, that beautiful music that they play when to let us know they're coming. And we would get like 10 cents a piece to buy ice cream. And our neighbors were, she was the president of Mother's Club. And she knocked on the back door. And my brothers and I were really playing. I was like leader of the bad, you know, I used to be really wild when I was I had a lot of excess energy, and I used to get my brothers to flip the chairs, and we'd play race with pushing the chairs, and I taught them to be like horses and go, and we would have a lot of fun playing games together. So my dad got a knock on the back door, and I saw him talking to our neighbor, the lady. And my dad hollered at me, Janie, you want to meet someone important? And I just shrugged my shoulders like that and went back to playing with my brothers. Turned out that he agreed that I and my little brother Stephen are to greet John F. Kennedy while he's campaigning for presidency. And I had to wear my little parka that my grandmother had made. It was muskrat fur inside and green cloth, I think. And my little brother had a rabbit fur jacket. And he was so cute because a little rabbit fur jacket went down to his ankles. He was just so cute. And we had to dress up warm. And I was kind of frustrated because I was that type that would get in trouble with by complaining. And my dad told me I have to have my parka on. And we got hot. Those days, the Anchorage Airport had leather seats, leather covers on their seats. And my little brother and I, we fell asleep leaning on each other. And someone woke us up and said, he's here. And the weather had been raining. And when I looked out the window and I saw that the sky had lifted up and the rain had stopped, and I went, wow, he must be a good man because God made the rain stop for him. And I watched the jet land, and then we had to go outside, stand in a certain area. And there's all kinds of photographers with these old-fashioned where they screw in light bulbs and there's flash and they unscrew them and put a new flash and press a button again. All kinds of flash going on and watching him walk. And he was really tall, nice-looking man. And he came and bent to me and he said, what's your name? I said, my name's Janie. And he shook my hand. And then he bent really low to my little brother Stephen, because my little brother Stephen looked really cute with that white rabbit parka with some little black specks on it, and it's almost down to his ankles. And he bent really low to my brother Stephen. He said, "What's your name, son?" And my little brother Stephen said, "Teefy." And I told John F. Kennedy, "My brother don't know how to speak good. His name is Stevie." And so that's how I got to greet him for the state of Alaska when he was campaigning for presidency. But I never seen a picture. I went through the microfilm at Anchorage Library to see if there's a picture. And all I found was my dad holding my brother on his shoulders and John F. Kennedy just swarmed with people on both sides of him, and he's out shaking hands. That's the only photo I found. I never found one of my little brother and I greeting him.
Mary Jane was 11 years old when President Kennedy was assassinated. When I asked her how she felt that day, her eyes immediately filled with tears. She can barely talk about it.
Oh, I was at Fairbanks Junior High School in seventh grade. We were all in the auditorium. The principal told us we have to go into the auditorium, and we're wondering why. All the classes were ordered to go into the auditorium, and he announced that President John F. Kennedy was shot. And we're just all crying.
Mary Jane meets John F. Kennedy, Act One of this month's show. You're listening to Story 49 on KNOM. This month's episode features Mary Jane Lichard of Nome, Alaska. Act Two of our show, Mary Jane's Gift. Mary Jane was born under unusual circumstances. Her mother, Erla Brown, had been trying to conceive with her husband, Harvard Brown, for 4 years with no success. So Erla went to see a shaman. She then had 4 children over the course of the next 4 years. Mary Jane was the oldest, born in Kotzebue. At her birth, Mary Jane's grandmother, Fanny Wallach, did ceremony on her. Fanny Wallach blessed Mary Jane's hands, sang to her, prayed, and chanted over her. When Fanny Wallach raised Mary Jane to the divine world, she said, "Let her do many things with her hands." Although she did not learn the story of her birth until she was 30 years old, Mary Jane has always been able to feel what others cannot and can heal them with her energy. Her hands are always busy making beautiful artwork, crafting, or writing. This sensitivity extends beyond humans, however. Mary Jane also has a special connection to animals. Act Two of today's show, Mary Jane's Gift, is a series of animal stories as told by Mary Jane.
I have another story that, for some reason, animals like me. My dad was a gold miner. They moved to Lost River and was a very active mining town, and I remember it. I remember a lot of people living there. I remember being passed around as a toddler, going from one person to another, people kissing me, and I would cry because of the too much kissing. And I remember my dad building our house because we used to live up on the third level. There's three levels of houses. And then he built at the very lower level next to Lost River, the river. We're just right near the river. And we were the only family living there after they found out that it was false gold, not real gold. And so the whole town, everybody moved out. But my dad was hired by the government to be a watchman, make sure no one go into that town and start mining. And I had lots of fun living in Lost River. My three little brothers could not go out and play with me, so my dad told me not to pet the wild foxes, but I could be around them. And so they were my friends when I stayed in Lost River. And I was that type of child that if I did not have my own way, I threw a tantrum. And I always wanted to go out. But my dad, you know, he had work to do. My stepmom had to stay home, take care of the tiny kids, because there's four others. And so that meant no one could watch me, you know, when I go out. So my dad, that's when he told me, don't you pet the wild foxes. You just let them be. And so they were my friends when I went out. And we had one grizzly bear that was really nice. And I would watch it from a distance and would play with those foxes and would play with wolves. One night, I could not fall asleep. We had two little beds in the kids' room. Billy and Bobby used to sleep feet to feet, their head on opposite side of the bed. And I would sleep with my little baby brother, Stephen, feet to feet. And one night, I could not fall asleep. And I used to be very terrified to go to the bathroom because my dad always had a candle on for us to see at nighttime to go to the bathroom. And I'd be just terrified because my dad would put up, he had built us a little picnic table so all four of us could sit on that picnic table and eat. And he would tilt that little picnic table. It was a tiny little one. He would tilt it up, and with the candle flickering and that, it looked like an animal was standing there. So I'd be so deathly afraid to go to the bathroom. And so one night, I went to the window, and it was so much fun with the snow falling. I felt like I was flying through the galaxy, just standing there at the window and like I was floating through the galaxy. And I was so surprised when I saw a fox. It came sniffing because my dad used to put the window I was looking out is right where my dad used to put food for the foxes. And I could see that fox sniffing around. And then another fox came to, and they kissed with their nose. And then they stood up, both of them stood up, and paw to paw, and they nose to nose, and they danced like that. They were doing a dance right in front of me. I could not believe it. And so some of my drawings are happy animals dancing around. So that scene made me realize that animals do, you know, have fun. They could dance too. When I was boat riding with my late husband and I, Robert Tovuk, we were in Wales and we needed a ride back to Nome. And Umiak, full of diameters, gave us a ride. And a killer whale just kept jumping right alongside where I was sitting. My late husband and I, we went to Wales again. And I wanted to go to the mountains to pick berries. And I could not find anyone to pick berries, you know, with me. And so I went up by myself and I was picking berries. And a little reindeer fawn came up to me. And I kept talking to that little reindeer fawn. Where's your mommy? Where's your mommy? And it was just tiny little fawn. And the fawn kissed me. I could not believe it. Another time was when I was going for my master's in Vermont, Wolcott, Vermont. I was in my dorm when all of a sudden, emergency, something told me I have to go run to this pond. And I just ran down the stairs and ran past. These students were wondering, you know, where. It was just a small school, Breadloaf School of English. And people were, I was just rushing really fast, running to the pond. And out pops a little fawn with all kinds of white spots. It just popped up, walked in front of me, and went out of the water. So I'm amazed at animals that can, like, intuitively call me and let me go look at them briefly. I'm very surprised, too, that this lady, she now lives in Juneau, she told me that I can call animals. She kept telling that to me. And I wouldn't believe her, but they had a meeting, and Senator Ted Stevens, he was sending a representative from Washington, D.C. up to Barrow. I was working for Ilasavi College, and they told me that I have to give this lady a ride, that I'm to show her around, and I felt terrified. Like a big responsibility that I'm to guide her around town, show her around Barrow, take her to Point Barrow, go to Briarville. And she told me she wants to see whales. And I had a friend who lives in Australia tell me a story that there was a little girl in Australia that became famous because she can go on a boat with people that want to see animals, and she could call them up and they would appear. And she told me I could do that too. And I just go, nah, you know, didn't believe. And I told that lady from Washington, D.C. to roll down her window because we went all the way up to Point Barrow and was turning around. And I told her, could you roll down your window? I'm going to see if this works. I was at the driver's seat. I said, oh, whales, whales. This lady came all the way from Washington, D.C. She wants to see you. Please show yourself. And I felt foolish because nothing happened. We waited. Nothing happened. And so my spirit started drooping because I thought, oh, I'm not able to, you know, call whales up. And so I drove her to show her these whale bones arch at Briarville. And we got out of the car, and all of a sudden she was jumping up and down. I said, what, what? She said, whales! And right there was three whales, three of them. They're eating. They're going in a circle and eating and swimming round and round in front of her. I could not believe it. I could not believe it that they showed up for her. When I worked on a ship as an artist in residence, I was able to call whales because they said the radio or these interpreters, Fish and Game, where they work on the ship and they on these tours, and they say, oh, we haven't seen any whales for a few weeks. And then I would just pray and a whale would come. And my sister, when I was going to graduate with my master's, I asked my sister, would you like to see whales when we went on a boat ride? And eight of them came. I was just amazed that I was able to call whales. And a person told me later from his culture that whales will go to a boat that has a person who is bright, that they're attracted to that light. I don't know if I'm that bright, but... I don't know why I have that kind of connection. I don't know. One morning at Teller, my stepmom refused to feed my three brothers and I breakfast. She was upset about something, and so we were kicked out of the house and we were wandering around Teller. And this lady, she invited us in and told us to go underneath the window And she asked us all kinds of questions. And we told her we were hungry. And so she fed us. And she did that multiple times. And she called us in one day to tell us when her husband and her were running out of food. She really prayed because she would feed me, Billy, and Bobby, just three of us, because Stephen was too tired, just a little toddler. She prayed one day, and there was three seals wash up on her beach next morning. Amazing. She was secretly feeding us, and she got reward from the divine world with three seals in front of her home. Just amazing. My dad let me pet stranded walrus at Lost River. After I pet that stranded walrus, I start having all kinds of dreams of sea mammals talking to me. Seals would always come to my dreams and tell me stories. Whales would tell me about ships that were bothering them out in the ocean. Walruses would tell me they're not getting enough food to eat of the clams because they're getting populated and they have to eat rocks to. I was very surprised that animals were communicating like that to me. My parents, when I tell them what happened, they used to never believe me because they found it so hard to believe when I tell them mystery things that happened that I saw and that happened. So I kept a lot of things to myself and just wrote it in my diaries. I kept diaries of all the animals that spoke to me. And so I have like 30 or 40 diaries from my dreams. I started a book sharing about the different dreams I had about husky dogs, walruses, whales, seals. They were the ones that really spoke to me a lot. And now I'm brave enough now to write about them.
Mary Jane's Gift, a collection of animal stories as told by Mary Jane Litchard, and Act Two of our program today. Thank you to Mary Jane Litchard for speaking with me this month about meeting President John F. Kennedy and about her gifts connecting to people and animals. Mary Jane works as an instructor for Kawarik's GED program in Nome and continues to make art and perform traditional healings. Story 49 is a production of KNOM Radio Mission. The music for this episode was provided by Chris Zabrinsky, Robin Gray, Mark Neal, Steven Siebert, and Mystery Mammal. If you would like to participate in Story 49, please call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or email story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your voice, your story, your Alaska.